Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome to Healing with Dr. Daniels on the RBN Network. It is Sunday, October 30th, and it is 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Well, tonight's topic is, would you take a drug that worsens sexual dysfunction, that worsens depression, that contributes to dementia, increases crime, doubles the suicide rate of those who take it? Would you take that kind of drug? Well, tonight I'm going to review the evidence so you don't have to be a victim or an accomplice. So, let's go. What category drug could possibly do all this? Answer? Drum roll. Antidepressants. Yes, antidepressants. And just in case you think your doctor doesn't know, this is in your doctor's inbox on October 20th, 2016. Hot off the press. Hot off the press, only 10 days old. And it says, currently available antidepressants may aggravate sexual dysfunction and make depression worse. A new survey of U.S. adults with major depressive disorder suggests. And this is absolutely shocking because these drugs were approved by the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, for depression. And they're supposed to be antidepressants. That means they relieve depression and improve the symptoms of depression. But when they talked to people who were taking these drugs, that is not what they found. And so the vast majority, 88% of respondents, reported a loss of sexual desire, satisfaction, or sexual function. More than two-thirds first experienced sexual problems as a symptom of their depression. And 17% first experienced sexual problems only after starting antidepressants. Nevertheless, it did not improve. Of those reporting sexual dysfunction, more than half, 55%, saw no improvement or suffered further decline in sexual function since starting their current antidepressant treatment. It's a lot. It's a lot of harm, 55% of those taking the drugs. Nearly three-quarters, 73%, of those with sexual dysfunction reported that it made their depression worse. So we have 73% of 55%, roughly 37% of those taking antidepressants reported the depression was made worse. That's a lot of harm. Survey was conducted by independent market research consultancy, Wakefield Research, and was commissioned by Faber-Kramer Pharmaceuticals, the developer of a still experimental and somewhat controversial antidepressant that has a unique mechanism of action that may avert the sexual side effects of currently available antidepressants. And this, by the way, is often how research is done. Pretty much all medical research is done by an entity that has a stake in the conclusion. However, this is the research that we have to work with. And so this is shocking that 37% of people on antidepressants report their depression is actually worse. And that 55% say that their sexual functioning decreased. So obviously antidepressants are awesome. Why? Because, well, if you take an antidepressant, you will soon need, if you're a guy, an erectile dysfunction drug or a drug for that category as well. But the point is, we have a drug called an antidepressant that actually makes depression worse. And that would be enough, you would think. However, there's more. It turns out, this is October 14th in your doctor's inbox, October 14th, SSRIs, which is one class of antidepressant, disrupt sleep in the elderly and may contribute to dementia. Now, with the epidemic of dementia going on now in the United States, one certainly does not need drugs that are going to add to it. So let's see what they say. Antidepressants, that means all antidepressants, especially SSRIs, that means including SSRIs, can significantly, that means measurably and in pretty frequent amounts, disrupt sleep in elderly patients and may contribute to early signs of neurodegeneration. Now, this is a nice little euphemism for dementia. We get all kinds of euphemisms now for dementia, but this is another one. So when you hear about neurodegeneration, they're talking about dementia. So a new research study shows. And they say, we've taken into account other side effects of antidepressants, including weight gain, sexual dysfunction, but we are less concerned about sleep, especially when we use SSRIs. Now, these are doctors talking to doctors. So what they really mean is not when we use them, but when doctors prescribe them for other people, like you. But the SSRIs increase sleep latency. That sounds really impressive, doesn't it? Sleep latency means the amount of time it takes for you to fall asleep in the elderly, and decreases REM, rapid eye movement, sleep. That means the healing phase of sleep, duration, and also are associated with behavioral sleep problems like nightmares. So you take a drug for your depression, and it gives you nightmares. It makes you unable to sleep at night, and it makes you stupid, just what every elderly person needs. So literature review included 10 studies published within the past 5 years. Okay, so they didn't. So the last study we looked at, they actually counted noses. They went to people, asked them a question, and counted how many this, how many that. This one, they did not do that. They looked at already published studies and summarized already published studies. So that would be kind of like not quite a review article, but they're calling them, they're calling it literature review. Okay, so studies include systemic reviews, retrospective studies, and prospective studies. And patients had to be at least 50 years of age and receiving an antidepressant, largely an SSRI, for the treatment of depression. And the analysis revealed that not only did the SSRIs in particular change sleep patterns in older patients, they also appeared to increase the risk of nightmares, which we already know. Okay, so change is in the sleep architecture brought on by antidepressants therapy may result in agitation, which may prompt further treatment with further side effects. And it says, unfortunately, there is little evidence to support the use of any treatment other than SSRIs for depression in the elderly. And, of course, there's very little evidence to support that. Both the tricyclic antidepressants and monoamine oxidase inhibitors are associated with too many side effects, especially in the elderly, and are generally not used in older patients. Now, way back when, in the dark ages, 1990s, actually I have to say 1980s to be honest, tricyclic antidepressants were widely used. However, tricyclic antidepressants, it's easy to overdose, lots of drug interactions, and of course lots of side effects, annoying ones like dry mouth. And monoamine oxidase inhibitors, they stopped using those in the 70s. Even by the time I got to medical school in 1979, no one prescribed those anymore. Okay, so benzodiazepines, that would be Valium, in turn are associated with an increased risk of falls and, again, are not appropriate for use in the elderly. And so this doctor suggests the psychiatrists screen their elderly patients for any signs and symptoms of neurodegenerative disorders. Again, that euphemism for Alzheimer's. If an SSRI is prescribed, and ask detailed questions about sleep quality on all follow-up visits. And so the dosing is important. In the elderly, these doses should be a maximum of half the usual prescribed for younger patients. Now, that's actually a meaningless statement because the range of dose strengths prescribed for younger patients is pretty broad. For example, Paxil, you can use as little as 5 milligrams or as much as 80 milligrams. So what is half the usual dose? It could be anywhere from 2.5 to 40, right? So this is actually kind of like, it's almost a meaningless precaution because the dose ranges in antidepressants have gotten so broad over the years. And so, of course, the usual Dr. Yellowlees also noted that the association with Alzheimer's doesn't necessarily mean the drugs cause Alzheimer's. So where you see these drugs, you see more Alzheimer's, but let's not jump to conclusions. And so we have then a study indicating that definitely sleep is disrupted, no question, and this might also contribute to dementia. So your SSRI antidepressants are certainly not making you any smarter. All right, so let's just keep this tally here. We're worsening sexual dysfunction, worsening depression, worsening insomnia, and dementia. All right. It would be okay if that was all there was to it, but here we have, again, this was in your doctor's inbox. It's a year ago. Maybe you might have forgotten it. September 24th, 2015, SSRIs, that's a class of antidepressants, linked to violent crime in young people. Interesting. Now, I used to be the medical director of a detention center for young people, people aged basically 15 and under. We got them as young as, I think when I was there, maybe the youngest, I was 9 years old. And these were people children who committed, you know, crimes where they were deemed to be a danger to themselves or other people. And so they were in the detention center awaiting trial or sentencing. So they were so dangerous they could not be left at home during this period. And I noticed that pretty much all of them came into the detention center on antidepressants or Ritalin. And I also noticed that there was a lot of violence going on. I mean, these kids were getting into fights with each other. They were breaking bones. They were beating up the guards. It was a mess. And so they'd done a lot to get me to take this job, and I didn't realize that I was going to encounter this. And I found that when I stopped everybody's drugs, that's it. The violence in the prison went to zero. No violence. The kids did not hit each other. There were no fights, no broken bones. No guards were assaulted. It became quite the peaceful place. And so certainly my observation, my personal observation, supports this link that they're just now getting around to discovering in 2015, which I observed quite dramatically in 1992. Yeah. And so this is shocking when you're asking a doctor to wait until the standard of care changes before he can change his practice. This is going to become relevant later on in the show. But that would mean I would have had to wait 22 years, 23 years, before I could stop prescribing these drugs in teenagers. So in other words, here I am, a doctor, practicing medicine. I can see in this prison there is violence all around me caused by these people who are taking these drugs. And then I decide, okay, I'm going to stop these drugs. I stop them, all the violence stops. Meanwhile, of course, these things don't happen in a vacuum, right? So this prison had been spending $50,000 a year on these drugs. And when I stopped all these drugs and stopped prescribing them, the drug companies called up their hitman at the local teaching hospital, and he wrote letters in the editorial page, really calling me names, accusing me of practicing medicine in the dark ages, of causing these children to suffer because they weren't getting their needed medications. And it went on and on and on. And this is what, unfortunately, patients are up against. Most doctors aren't, not like I was. When they started with all this stuff in the newspapers, my feeling was, well, so what? I'm not going to start prescribing these drugs again because things are going too well at the prison. People are doing fine. There's no violence. It's a pleasant day for me. No problem. Now, of course, parents were called hysterical. Johnny's not getting his medications. You better put him back on those medications. You're going to be sorry, because when he doesn't get his medications, he's really mean and nasty. I said, well, Miss Jones, don't worry. Our guards are armed. And they're ready to handle Johnny. Don't worry. We've got it under control. And then, of course, the parents would get even, they would just flip out. And, of course, they would go back and talk to their primary care doctor, and it was just quite the little circus. And so finally, the drug company hitman wrote enough letters to the editor in the newspaper, and there were enough nasty and threatening phone calls from doctors And they directed them at first towards me. Of course, I didn't respond. And then they directed these phone calls towards my employer's boss's boss, which would be the county executive who oversaw the whole county. And so he, of course, talked to the prison superintendent and said, "Hey, what's going on? These kids dying? What's happening? This sounds terrible." And so he showed him all the records. No kids dying. Kids doing great. Prison doing great. You know, violence down, gone. No violence. No broken bones. Everything going well. So the county executive took this as an affront to his personal authority. I was his employee. And nobody, not the drug company, not the hitman at the teaching hospital, and not some doctor in the community had the right to tell me what to do because I was his employee. And so then it became a power struggle between the county executive and all these other people. And, of course, the county executive won because why? It was his budget. He had the money. He could just turn off everybody's money. So the final outcome was I was allowed to stop any drugs I wanted as long as I sent a letter to the mother, to the parents, and to the prescribing physician. And that's what I did. I just continued stopping all the drugs and doing that. But that was a tremendous amount of pressure that most doctors would not have withstood. So SSRI is linked to violent crime in young people. And it's really unfortunate that this study actually had to be done overseas. It was not done in the United States. But people are people. And so what did they find? The use of SSRI is associated with a significantly increased risk for violent crime among adolescents and young adults, new research shows. Swedish researchers examined data from more than 850,000 individuals and found that SSRI's use was linked to 43% increased risk for violent crime among people aged 15 to 24. Now, this is increased risk. Let's be specific here, okay? This is not increased risk. This is increased crime. This is increased, you know, teenagers or young people actually hitting people and harming people and coming to the attention of the law. This is not a risk. This is actually something that that took place. I mean, people were hurt. Bad things happened. They use this language when talking to doctors to make us think that maybe it didn't really happen, or maybe it kind of sort of maybe happened. But no, it happened. I mean, when you think about this, that 43% more young people assaulted their friends or their family or strangers. Now, this is a serious problem. If our findings relating to young people are validated in other designs, then warnings about an increased risk of violent behavior while being treated with SSRIs may be needed. What do you mean if our findings are validated? I think when you look at data from 850,000 individuals, that's a pretty good study. In fact, it almost puts the burden of proof on the doctors who are prescribing this and on the companies that are recommending this, that are writing the package inserts. Anyway, any such changes to the advice given to young persons prescribed SSRIs will need to be carefully considered as a public health benefit from decreases in violence. Following reactions, restrictions in SSRIs may be countered by increase in other adverse outcomes, such as disability, rehospitalization, or suicides. Now, we'll get to the suicide part. So what you're saying is if we cut back on SSRIs, we may decrease violence by 43%, but we'll lose the benefits of SSRIs, the benefits like more people committing suicide. Okay. When we come back, we'll talk more about that. Please don't go. No, please don't go. I don't want to stay here on my own. Doctor, doctor, can't you see I'm burning, burning? Oh, doctor.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, A visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
If your home has hard water, then it's likely that Limescale is clogging your pipes, damaging your appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars each year. You can eliminate Limescale in the entire house with HydroCare products available at Wave Home Solutions. Easy and efficient with no maintenance, no salts, no chemicals, and no coils. And you can buy with confidence from Wave Home Solutions. Performance guaranteed. Just go to bestwater411.com. That's bestwater411.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Okay, so we're talking about antidepressants. Apparently, I can tell you, back when these SSRIs and antidepressants were introduced, they were considered to be wonder drugs, and apparently still are. But they have a few troubles, a few problems, and so these are linked to violent crimes in young people. So let's take a little... So during the study period, 8,377 people were convicted of a crime, violent crime. This compared with 40,000 convictions among 7 million individuals from the general Swedish population age 15 years older in 2006. So analysis revealed that there is an overall association between SSRI use and violent crime conviction at a hazard ratio of 1.19. And stratifying individuals by age, a significant association was seen between the use of SSRIs and convictions for violent crimes among those aged 15 to 24. So if they narrowed it down by age even tighter, 15 to 24, then that's where you get the 43% increase. And that is pretty impressive. And they found that this even was true across sex lines. So it increased violent crimes in women even more so. So men had boys or teenage males increased 40%, but teenage women their crime rate went up, or violent crime rate went up 75%, which is pretty impressive. So this is a real problem. But you know what? It gets worse. Violent crime. And let's see, the suicide rate in young people actually doubles. And that's another issue. So here we have a drug that is used for depression. And we were told in medical school the reason we treat depression, the only reason we treat depression, is because it can be deadly. People can actually kill themselves because they're depressed. And we treat people who are depressed to prevent suicide. That is the only reason to treat depression. Because depression is otherwise, well, harmless. And so this is a problem. So the problem then is that antidepressants actually raise your suicide risk. So if you're a young adult or adolescent, then you can expect that your antidepressant, your suicide risk will be doubled by taking antidepressants. So, we've got these drugs, they got a few side effects. So let's see what else we know about these drugs. Mood. SSRIs no better than placebo in depressed congestive heart failure patients. Now, congestive heart failure means that your heart is not pumping enough blood, and the blood backs up and fills up your lungs, and you can't breathe, and you're out of energy, and your feet swell up, and it's pretty miserable. So we can, of course, see why someone with this condition might be depressed. And so the question is, what about treating these depressed patients with SSRIs? These are now adults. So, investigators call the first large-scale randomized controlled trial to assess long-term effectiveness and safety of a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor in patients with chronic heart failure. This is the first trial undertaken to see if these are effective. This is 2015. These things have been prescribed since 1990-something. For 20 years, no one took a look. No one said, hey, do these things work? Okay. 2015, somebody takes a look. And boy, are we glad they did. And so a study of more than 300 patients showed that 60% of those who received the SSRI and 61% of those receiving matching placebo had an unplanned hospitalization for any reason or all-cause death over the following 24 months. Now, this is something you look for in studies. They're grouping together an unplanned hospitalization and all-cause death. And they're saying it's the same in both groups. But wait, what if one group had a very high death rate and the other one had a very low death rate? Grouping them together like this would conceal that difference. And this is the importance of study design. And so what this shows is that both groups, the placebo and the drug-treated group, had the same outcome. So though patients receiving the SSRI did have significant decrease in depression symptoms scores after 12 weeks of treatment, the reduction was similar in the placebo group. In other words, as Grandma said, time heals all wounds. So when we come back, we'll find out more about this heart of depression. No, please don't go. I don't want to.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine.
Give such delight.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Okay, so we have a class of drugs here that doubles the suicide rate for young people, increases the rate of violence by 40% to 75%, depending on your gender, worsens sexual dysfunction, worsens depression itself, contributes to dementia. And so surely we must have some information on its effectiveness. I mean, there must be reasons for prescribing this, you know, the good that outweighs the bad. So let's see what we got here. So we have here this study among congestive heart failure patients. And it said none of the participants had taken an SSRI or other antidepressant previously, or had a history of suicide or severe depressive episodes. Follow-ups were scheduled for 24 months after baseline. Participation was 18 months for the drug group versus 18.8 months for the placebo group. Okay, so both groups were pretty... stayed in the study the same length of time. The primary endpoint was a composite of unplanned hospitalizations or any cause or deaths. The major secondary endpoint was reduced score on the depression rating scale. So the results showed no significant difference between treatment groups for the primary outcome, which is hospitalization, or changes in depression. So depression score decreases at 12 weeks were significant but similar between groups, changes from 20 to 11 and from 21 to 12. In addition, 46% of those receiving the active medication versus 48% of those receiving placebo had a treatment adverse event, not including hospitalization or death. And 86% of the people taking the drugs versus 80% of those not taking drugs reported that the event was severe. So overall, antidepressants neither improved the medical outcome nor the depression in this population compared with placebo. And so, in other words, the antidepressants are not effective. Okay, so here is the punchline. Oh, it's got to have a punchline. Florida court rules physician may be liable in suicide. Well, let's see. So Florida Supreme Court ruled on August 25th, 2016, that a physician could be sued for medical malpractice in the case of a patient's suicide. So let's take a look. Well, what happened? This patient started taking an antidepressant, Effexor, in 2005, but stopped taking it in 2008. She took it for 3 years, according to court records. The records say she called her doctor's office the day before she died, or committed suicide, and told his medical assistant that she had stopped taking the drug because she thought it was causing side effects such as poor sleep and mental strain. And we've looked back, right, that this does cause poor sleep. Okay. And also causing her to cry easily and have upset stomach issues. She said she had not felt right since late June or July. After reading the assistant's note, the doctor changed the patient's prescription from Effexor to Lexapro and did not schedule an appointment, but said she could pick up a sample of the drug and a prescription at his office. She picked up the items that day and hanged herself the following day. All right. Now, her husband then sued the physician and his medical group, alleging the doctor had breached his duty and the suicide had resulted from that breach. Now, you have to ask yourself, what was the doctor's duty? Well, since I practice medicine, I could give you a little insight there. The doctor's duty might have been to see the patient in the office, ask her a few questions, examine her, and then, if he felt prescribing a drug or changing a drug was appropriate, to do it at that point. That basically was the duty that he owed. And so, allegations breach of duty, including that he failed to recognize she was experiencing a change in symptoms, was depressed, and was seeking medical intervention. And the doctor did not speak with her directly. He did not refer her to a clinician trained in management of depression. And that he failed to properly evaluate the drug, an antidepressant known to cause suicidal ideation in some patients. The doctor and his group filed for summary judgment saying, hey, he didn't owe a duty to prevent the lady from committing an unforeseeable suicide while she was not in his control. So, of course, this is a specious excuse because once he wrote the prescription, she was in his control. For example, if he had given her an appointment to come to his office for evaluation and she hung herself instead of coming to his office, then she could be deemed not under his control. But as a doctor, once you write a prescription, give out a sample, assuming for the duration the person is taking that drug, they are deemed to be under your control / influence. Okay. So summary judgment was granted by the First District Court of Appeals, but the decision was later reversed. The judge said, in writing the opinion, although the inpatient duty to prevent suicide does not apply here, there still exists a statutory duty to treat the decedent in accordance with the standard of care. So what they're saying is this doctor did not follow all the rules. And we know, just from the studies we've already read, that if he had followed all the rules, seen her first, written a prescription, referred her to a psychiatrist, maybe hospitalized her in a psych hospital for a few months, that would not have changed the ultimate outcome. Because we know these drugs, one, do not prevent or improve depression, and two, do not prevent suicide. So, but the court says, wait a minute, because he did not follow the rules, the doctor did not follow the rules, even though following the rules, we know, would not have made a material difference, the doctor can be found liable. And so Supreme Court ruled that this doctor knew the patients who stopped taking antidepressants abruptly had an increased risk for suicide, and two, ultimately decided that stopping Effexor was a contributing factor in the decedent's suicide. And so the question then is, should the doctor have restarted Effexor? Or, since we now know, you've been listening to this show, maybe he shouldn't have started in the first place. Chilling effect on care. So another doctor, director of psychiatry and ethics, this time at University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, told Medscape News that malpractice cases involving suicides are not new. And this is true. Back when I went to medical school, 1979 to 1983, this was a big deal. Doctors would frequently see a patient who was depressed, start an antidepressant, and the patient would kill themselves within 24 hours. And we were told that while this does frequently happen, it is a coincidence. And the patient just waited too late to seek care. In other words, the actual prescription the doctor wrote did not influence the patient and push them to commit suicide. No, 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 no. The patient just waited too late. And so when they started the drug, it just was too late to do them any good, and they committed suicide within 24 hours. And we're also told that sometimes these drugs give patients increased energy to act on their suicidal goals or wishes without giving them the increased judgment. So they get the increased energy first. It takes a while for the increased judgment to kick in. This is what your doctor is being told in medical school, which is pretty specious, if you ask me. Specious, for those of you who don't want to look it up, is just failed or flawed logic appearing accurate. Okay, so what this doctor is saying is these suits are nothing new, but they can have a chilling effect on those who treat people with depression. So doctors might be less likely to treat, which, you know, if you want to avoid sexual dysfunction, worsening depression, dementia, increasing criminality, violence, and suicide, may not be a bad thing for them to stop treating this condition. And another doctor said, this is the director of the Florida Psychological Association, there's a fine line between how you balance the standard of care with people's free will on an outpatient basis. And so here's a plug for the police state. It's like, if only we had a police state, this could have been prevented. All right, gotcha. Okay. She said the ruling points up several things, including the vast majority of psychoactive medications at this point are being prescribed by non-mental health trained physicians. More people get antidepressants from their general practitioner than get it from their psychiatrist, because we have a shortage of psychiatrists, okay? So we should train more psychiatrists. She also said people with depression are also not offered psychology. So they're not referred to psychologists for talk therapy. Now we know, just by the way, talk therapy is not especially effective. Presumably, if this person had been in therapy, there would have been somebody monitoring what was going on. In other words, we need to put everybody under surveillance. Somebody monitoring what was going on with their mental state and also dealing with the issue that she had stopped taking her medications. So we need is another adult supervising this adult a little bit closer. She says, doctors have a legitimate question in asking what you can do when a patient won't take medications. And again, then this is suggesting we need a police state. We need to put our patients under surveillance. We need to make sure they take their medications. When in actual fact, if this lady had never taken the prescribed antidepressant, she would probably be alive today. But what the court is going to says is, no, he should not have allowed her to stop the Effexor. He should have prescribed more Effexor. The problem was quantified in a previous Medscape news story that said 1 in 5 patients prescribed antidepressants stops taking them without telling their doctor. I'm shocked it's only 1 in 5. Ultimately, you cannot shove pills down someone's throat. Again, the implications, we should be able to. The thought of doctors being responsible for whether patients kill themselves or not, well, that's pretty chilling. Okay. And so what's going on then is the courts are getting in the business of enforcing not patient outcome or patient benefit, but standard of care. And so if the standard of care, which is prescribing antidepressant for someone who's depressed, is actually what killed this lady, what the court is saying is you need to follow the standard of care. And so in this case, then, the standard of care would have been to admit her to a hospital, rearrange her antidepressants, then discharge her, at which point she likely would have killed herself, because we realize that these antidepressants are not effective in preventing suicide. So what is a patient to do? What is a person to do? Well, if you're depressed and you want to get better, it doesn't make sense to see a doctor and get the standard of care antidepressant. Why? Because the standard of care antidepressant, we know for a fact, is not going to improve your depression. It may not worsen it, but it's definitely not going to improve over what no treatment would have happened. So that's number one. Number two, why would you go to a doctor to get worsening sexual dysfunction, increased chances for dementia, increased violent crimes, and double your suicide rate? Doesn't make sense. So standard care is not where it's at. So let's say you're actually depressed. The reason drugs don't work in depression is because they don't address the cause of the depression. And just like in the prison, when I stopped the antidepressants, I also talked to the kids about their diet, and they actually started eating differently. They stopped eating processed foods, started eating fresh fruits and vegetables, started drinking water only. They actually stopped drinking their soda pops. And everyone's depression and behavioral problems cleared up very nicely. And this works pretty well for people of pretty much all ages. Now, people who are older might have a bigger problem with constipation, in which case they can go over to vitalitycapsules.com and get some vitality capsules to help clean out their colon, small intestine, and liver. So that's what you could do if you're depressed. Now, another thing you have to figure out, I think, is where do you stand on this? Where do you stand on this issue? I mean, it's easy to blame the doctors, you know, for prescribing this stuff, and how could these doctors do this? How could they kill these people? But what about us lay people, people who are not licensed? By the way, I'm not licensed anymore. Where do they stand? Where do you stand? How far will you go to be a part of the antidepressant craze? I mean, are you willing to yourself go to a doctor to get a prescription for an antidepressant, knowing what you know? Are you willing to drive someone else to the doctor to get a prescription for an antidepressant? Are you willing to drive them to the pharmacist to get the prescription filled? And once they have the medication, are you willing to hand them the pill? Make sure they take their medicines on time. That's what you have to find out, because, you know, it takes all of these people, all of these acts, all of these together to create this human harm, this pile of misery, to create this worsening of sexual dysfunction, worsening of depression, this dementia, increase in violent crime, and suicide behavior. All of these things. It's not just the doctor writing the script, although that is certainly a step, a necessary but not sufficient step in the process. So I think it's important for each one of you to think, where do you stand on this? How far will you go to be a part of this antidepressant killing spree and human harm? So consider that next time you think about driving someone to the doctor, driving them to the pharmacy to get the prescription filled, Or even worse yet, handing them the pill, setting out their pills, making sure they stick to the pill schedule. All of these things contribute to this mass killing. So I think the best bet is to not be a part of it at any level, at every level.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. So we're talking about antidepressants, a drug with a multitude of side effects and vanishing benefits. In other words, it's difficult to find any evidence of their effectiveness. Certainly when I was in medical practice, in the 90s, that's when they were first introduced, the SSRIs. And Prozac and Paxil were going to save us all. And we doctors were so excited because nothing worked. The tricyclics didn't work. The MAO inhibitors didn't work. The sedatives didn't work. And so now we were going to have non-addictive. Yep, these drugs were billed as non-addictive, effective antidepressants. Well, it took me about 6 months to run the gamut. And I said, you know what? These things do not appear to be working. And that's when I stopped using them and actually started using vitality capsules and activated charcoal. And that had just a profound effect. And one lady came to my office. She'd been a patient for a while. And so one day she showed up and with her family. And apparently she had attempted suicide 2 times the week before. And her family had said, okay, this is it. We're coming up from New York City to Syracuse, New York. We're going to take you home with us. And you're going to be in our custody, the custody of the family, which would be her mother and sisters. And she said, no, wait. Take me to Dr. Daniels' office. I said, Dr. Daniels? Who's Dr. Daniels? Oh, she's my doctor. She'll help. I said, well, where is this doctor? And of course, my office is located in the middle of the ghetto. And her family said, wait a minute. She said, no, please. It's okay. There's one last thing we'll do for you, and that is it. And so she came to the office. She told me her story. And I said, okay, here's the deal. You need to take some vitality capsules. You need to poop all this crap out. You need to juice carrot, beet, celery. Just juice and drink all the juice you want, but that's all you get to drink, to eat. Do that. And take some activated charcoal, a teaspoon, a cup of water, about 4 times a day. And I'll see you back in about 2 days. She came back in 2 days. And she said, Dr. Daniels, I must have been crazy to want to kill myself. What was I thinking? And so literally, just getting all the crap out, cleaning out her system, totally changed her thinking. It really, her depression lifted, and that was that. And she really did, she did just fine from that day forward. Of course, her family was totally upset and ticked off, and they stomped back to New York City. And it worked out okay, because she was able to handle her affairs and did just fine. So I have to tell you a Paxil story. So I was not enlightened, and so I gave Paxil to this lady who was having marital problems and she was depressed. And she took her Paxil like a very good patient. And she even asked for a refill, and I gave her a refill. And her second refill, she came in and says, Dr. Daniels, can I have my brain back? I just don't feel like myself. I said, absolutely, you can have your brain back, and stop the Paxil, and she did just fine. So it's very important to realize that these drugs are a real problem.
I saw you there, just standing there, and I thought I was only dreaming, yeah. I kissed you then, and then once again.
People love to shop. What if you could shop and it was actually good for you? What if you could actually purchase items that bettered your life? What goes into your body is important to what quality of life you have. How about shopping for items that better your health? GetTheTea.com is that shopping place. We're not only tea, even though that's our number one seller, we are about helping your health. There's colostrum LD for those of you with autoimmune troubles. The product helps your stomach get on track. GI problems produce pain. Get relief with colostrum LD. How about some fat burners, or maybe some joint aid, or a power cleanse? There's so much to tell you with very little time. So get help health-wise at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call our friendly operators at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Get help and relief by going shopping. Shop at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Serving people with great products for over 8 years. GetTheTea.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.